Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily faith life is taken again from Mark chapter 1. We'll continue that reading in Mark chapter 1 with verses 35 through 39. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. What did Jesus come to do? Obviously, he came to do lots of things. He did lots of things while he was here on this earth. But if you had to boil it down to one thing, what would you say it was? As we continue to look at various gospel texts during the season of Epiphany and see what various things they reveal to us about Jesus, we come to a text in the Gospel of Mark that actually says, Jesus' own words, "For this purpose I have come forth." What was that purpose? We pray that the Holy Spirit would bless our study today as we seek to answer that question and learn what other things this text reveals to us about Jesus. The first thing this text reveals about Jesus is very instructive. It's an excellent example for us to follow. It first of all reveals that Jesus prayed. This text reveals in the very first verse that he prayed. He didn't just rattle off a quick table prayer before his meal either. Now listen to the words of the first verse of our text. It tells us, "In the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed." In this verse and other examples from the Gospels, we see that Jesus had a very deep and very full prayer life. In fact, we're told in the Gospel of Luke that the night before he chose his 12 apostles, he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Notice in this verse that Jesus got up early, a long while before daylight, and again went off by himself to a solitary place to commune with his heavenly Father in prayer. Think about how incredible that is. It's the first verse of this text, and maybe we kind of jump right over it, but think of how incredible that verse and that fact that Jesus prayed is. How instructive it is for us as well. If Jesus, true God, but also true man, felt the need to spend quiet, focused time in prayer with his heavenly Father, how much more should we? The second thing our text reveals in this gospel reading, or in this section of the gospel, is also found in the reading we had in our gospel reading today, in the verses that come just before it. It reveals to us that Jesus is powerful. Our gospel reading reminded us of Jesus' power to heal completely, to heal both physically and spiritually. Remember those verses we read previously in Mark chapter 1? He healed Peter's mother-in-law from her fever, and he healed her immediately. And it says that she began serving him right after he healed her. A complete and full immediately healing of Peter's mother-in-law, that she was well enough immediately to go and serve Jesus and the rest of the disciples. We're also told in that same reading that at evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Do we sometimes forget just how absolute Jesus' power is? It's good for us to read these texts once again to reveal to our hearts and minds, or maybe a better way to put it is to remind our hearts and minds that Jesus is powerful. He's almighty. He has all power, and as he says, all authority in heaven and on earth. That means he has power over the natural world, and he has power over the supernatural world, which would include the devil and all of his minions. And it's not even close. We get stuck in our minds that sometimes it's this battle between Jesus and Satan, and it's kind of, you know, neck and neck. It's not. Jesus has complete power and authority over heaven and earth, the natural and the supernatural. When the whole city lined up that night for healing, Jesus not only healed their physical illnesses and diseases, it also tells us he cast out many demons, and he showed his absolute authority and power over them by not even allowing them to speak. Great examples of Jesus' power, a reminder and a revelation that Jesus is powerful. And yet these examples of Jesus' power pale in comparison to the power Jesus reveals when he reminds us of his purpose. After all, knowing what Jesus' purpose was, what he came to this earth to do, is just as important as knowing who he is. Many people might know that Jesus was a historical figure. Many people will admit that Jesus existed, but they don't really know who he is. They certainly don't know him by faith as their Lord and Savior. In the same way that it's necessary to know that Jesus is more than just a good man, more than just a great teacher, a great healer, or more than just a God, it's also necessary to know Jesus' main purpose in coming to this earth. And it was not just to physically heal or to work miracles. It was not to come and lead a political or social revolution. It was not even to show people just how to love each other or how to pray or how to lead a good life by his own perfect example. In our text, Jesus tells us very clearly what his purpose was. Then we see him act and speak to accomplish that mission, that purpose. In fact, all that Jesus is, all that he has said, all that he has done was working toward completing that mission, that purpose. All the miracles, the healings, the teachings, and the acts of love were not an end to themselves, but were done to help accomplish that purpose. Jesus says in verse 38, "For this purpose I have come." What was that purpose? We're told in verse 38 that it was to preach. And so our text reveals this about Jesus. It reveals that, most importantly, Jesus' purpose was to preach. Not just to preach in general. We need to add to that statement. Not just to preach in general, but as our sermon text from the Gospel of Matthew last week reminded us, Jesus came to preach the gospel of the kingdom. It means Jesus came preaching the good news. That's what the gospel means. The good news about himself, how he'd come to save mankind by his perfect life and his eventual sacrifice on the cross for the world's sins. At other times in his ministry, Jesus clearly stated this was his mission. This was his purpose for coming to this earth. Listen to a few other times where Jesus speaks about his purpose. John 18, 37. He says, "For this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is on the side of truth listens to me." Mark 10, 45, he says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And from John 10, 38, "I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." Jesus there, of course, is referring to real, true life, which would include, and most importantly, included eternal life. As true God himself, Jesus' purpose was, of course, the same as his Father's purpose. Jesus, as true man, prayed to his Father, as we read in our text in verse 1. Jesus sought his Father's will, and he was devoted to his mission, his purpose for coming to this earth. Jesus himself said in John's Gospel, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Well, how did God the Father summarize his will? How does God the Father summarize his purpose? The Bible tells us that as well. 1 Timothy 2, 3 and 4, "God our Savior desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." It was God's purpose from eternity to save mankind, to save people of the world through his Son Jesus. He knew in advance that Satan would ruin his perfect creation. And so he sent Jesus to restore it. That was the reason for Jesus' epiphany, his revealing or appearance as the Son of God on this earth. The Apostle John tells us in 1 John 3, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." That's exactly what we see Jesus doing in our text, isn't it? Destroying the works of the devil by preaching the gospel of peace, forgiveness, and life against Satan, death, and hell. He was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, as our text tells us, and he was defeating Satan by casting out demons. Now, the fact that Jesus was completely 100% devoted to his mission, his purpose of mankind's salvation, does not, of course, prove that he was true God or God's Son. But the fact that he accomplished it absolutely does. The fact that he accomplished his mission exactly and completely as his Father intended certainly proves he was and is God's Son, Jesus, God himself. Jesus crushed Satan once and for all and destroyed sin's power by his shed blood on the cross, the very blood of the Son of God. By his death on the cross and defeated death then by his victorious resurrection 3 days later. Jesus' purpose was accomplished fully and completely. But think about this fact. He is still doing more saving work because there are still more souls to be saved. Don't get me wrong, his blood and his righteousness are enough. They are completely and totally enough to cover the payment for the sins of the entire world, the salvation of all people. But not all have heard, and so not all have believed. So in that sense, there is more saving work to do. There are still more souls to be saved. And remarkably, God has given this work to us. He's given this work to us Christians to do. He's given us his powerful, saving word to preach and to drive out Satan. He's given us a powerful purpose, a purpose he gives to each one of us. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Are we completely devoted to that purpose? Are we completely devoted to the purpose that Jesus has given us to share that salvation, to share the good news, the gospel, with others? Like Jesus did in our text, do we set aside time alone in prayer with our Heavenly Father and pray, "Thy will be done," that his will be done, that his mission of saving souls would be accomplished among us, through us, and also by other Christians around the globe? Like Jesus, we can preach the gospel of the kingdom of God to the many souls who are dying and in need of this saving good news. Now, maybe we can't go from town to town teaching like Jesus, but we have those around us, some even very close to us, family members and friends, who do need to hear of Jesus' love and need to see his love reflected in our lives. That means we back up our words with compassionate actions, actions of love, reflecting Jesus' love for us. Jesus backed up his words and his preaching with acts of love, healing well into the night people who were sick with all kinds of diseases, casting out demons. At the very least, all of us can not only pray, but also give our offerings to help those who are carrying out Christ's mission. We know there's always a great need for offerings here, locally, in our country, and also, of course, overseas. Telling of God's saving love in Christ to others and then showing them that love in our lives, let that be our purpose. It's a pretty daunting purpose. It's a blessed purpose, but it's daunting. Where are we going to find the motivation and the strength and the love to carry this out? We're going to find it in Jesus. We'll find it in reading his powerful word every day. In that word, it reveals to us and reminds us of our purpose. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15. For the love of Christ compels us, because we have come to this conclusion. One died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all so that those who live would no longer live for themselves, but for him who died in their place and was raised again. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.